Good morning. Please pray with me. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill the hearts of your faithful, and kindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and we shall be recreated, and you shall renew the face of the earth. Amen. Have you ever wondered why some people are so good, so loving, and so fine, but they are not saved? On the other hand, have you ever wondered, what's coming here? Why there are people who have professed Jesus Christ as Lord who can, at times, be downright ugly and mean-spirited. To put it more simply, have you ever wondered why is there not more of a difference between churchgoers and the unsaved? This is one of the complaints of those outside the church. Believers' lives don't always reflect the life and the teachings of Jesus. So why should non-believers give Christianity a try? To them, the church seems full of hypocrites. Frankly, I wondered about this myself. Here I am, a lifelong Christian, an ordained pastor, and I'm standing up here in front of you today, presuming to speak on behalf of God. Yet I have character faults, many of them. And I think if you're truly honest with yourselves, you will admit that you might have a few yourself. So what is the problem and what is the solution? I think the problem is that too many of us think that once we profess our faith in Jesus Christ, we are done. We have said the magic words, and no more is required. We have repented, we have professed that Jesus died for our sins, and we have prayerfully invited Jesus to be our Lord and Savior. But when we have done that, we are not done. The process of sanctification, or becoming like Christ, is only the beginning. When we turn our lives over to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, we are also gifted with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And that is an incredible gift. But we don't always use that gift. Sometimes we ignore it. When Jesus walked this earth, his presence was limited in time and space. He was able to minister to a limited number of people. As his death was approaching, Jesus knew that we would need guidance to follow in his teachings. And more than that, he knew we would not be able to follow his plans for our lives. Without some help, we would not be recreated in his image, which is our true divine destiny. This is where the Holy Spirit comes in. The Spirit's help is available for anyone who believes in the risen Christ. There are no limitations on the Spirit. Everywhere a person goes, the Spirit will go with them, or in some cases, precede them. The Spirit is the fulfillment of Jesus' promise, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus calls, in today's translation, Jesus calls the Spirit the Helper. In other translations, it's the Comforter, Advocate, or Counselor, which is translated from the Greek word paraclete, meaning called to one side. The word paraclete can have any and all of these meanings. A legal advocate or counsel for defense, an intercessor or a helper in a general sense. Now, this sounds like a pretty good thing to take advantage of. A free corrective guide. Someone to look out for us and to help us. But we don't tend to think about the Holy Spirit much. We often talk and act as if the Trinity is actually a duo. We have the big F, the Father, the big S, the Son, and the little teeny tiny S, the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is often kind of sort of like an add-on or an afterthought. Sometimes I think that the church has rewritten the definition of the Trinity as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Scriptures. We tend to ignore the Holy Spirit. But I hope to convince you today that the Spirit is a keystone of the foundational doctrine of the Trinity, and that the Spirit is necessary for us to become the sons and daughters of God that God truly created us to be. Even though we have committed ourselves to Christ, some of our old sinful natures remains. When we accept Christ, it is like we have received an antibiotic in the form of the indwelling Holy Spirit. This antibiotic of the Spirit This antibiotic of the Spirit is at war with the infection of original sin, which is within all of us. And much like if we don't drink our orange juice, keep ourselves warm and dry, and get bed rest to help an antibiotic overcome an infection, we need to assist the Holy Spirit to overcome our sinful natures and become transformed into Christ's image. Listen to what the New Testament is telling us. Not only is it talking about being born again, it is telling us to put on Christ, about Christ being formed in us, about our coming to have the mind of Christ, about working out our faith, and about being changed into his image. You can read the great philosophers of the ages. You can be informed by many of the world's other great religions. This, however, will only result in head knowledge that may help you through life if you have the will to follow these ideas, which you may to some extent, but likely not. On the other hand, only Christianity promises that through the power of the Holy Spirit, and only through the power of the Holy Spirit, a living presence can and will be available to help us and even dwell within us. This living presence is the one who is and was and will forever be God. The Holy Spirit has come to mess with your life, to interfere with our sinful inclinations, and to replace our old natures with the very essence of the being of the living Christ. Therefore, if we do cooperate with the Holy Spirit, we can make progress in allowing the sanctifying process to bear fruit in us, and for us to be recreated in Christ's image. At first, maybe only for moments, then for longer periods. Finally, if we can fully commit ourselves to assisting the Holy Spirit, remembering that we always have free will to turn aside, it is quite possible to have totally transformed lives. Look at the examples of the great saints throughout the ages. We can share in God's power, joy, and knowledge. Will we ever become perfect on this side of heaven? If we say that is not possible, then we have denied the power of Jesus overcoming sin by his death on the cross. However, most theologians believe that full sanctification likely will not occur in this life. It will have to wait until we are in the full presence of a holy God to become fully holy ourselves. Be very clear that the process of sanctification is not about keeping the rules. Therefore, this is work that is done not by our own will. It is God's work within us. The rules, the Ten Commandments, and all the other specific instructions found in the Scriptures, especially in the New Testament, they are like guardrails preventing us from completely driving off the road. But once the sanctifying process takes hold, following the rules becomes like second nature. We automatically become better drivers on the road to life. Let's look back at our scripture to drive home this point, pun intended. This is Jesus speaking. And when he comes, he, the Holy Spirit, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. According to William Barclay, the great New Testament interpreter, this passage is almost a perfect definition of the work of the Holy Spirit. The Greek word is translated into convict can be translated in the English two ways. Either to convict as in a legal trial, or convince a person to change their mind. We need both definitions. We need the Holy Spirit to convict us of our sins, no matter how small. After all, if we don't realize what we're doing is wrong, how can those unperfected areas of our lives be changed? The Holy Spirit will also convince us that Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. What made the centurion at the foot of the cross or Paul on the Damascus Road put their faith for all eternity in a common crucified Jewish criminal? It was the work of the Holy Spirit. Personally, I'm comforted by the fact that the Holy Spirit will increase my faith. The Holy Spirit also convinces us of judgment. We who have a natural inclination to go our own way and do our own thing will one day stand before the judgment seat of a holy God and be found blameless. What makes us feel certain that judgment lies ahead? It is the work of the Holy Spirit. Let's look at the last part of this passage. Still, I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Let me summarize this. The sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit is alive, dynamic, and progressive. As we can better walk in the faith, as we can better seek the truth, then the Holy Spirit will reveal more truth to us. The Spirit bringing God's truth to humankind is called revelation. The Spirit will only reveal to us what we can understand. Let me give you an example. One of our grandsons, who is 8 years old, is having trouble with math. our son Jason is tutoring him. Jason is not trying to teach algebra to James in order to help him. He's teaching him fractions. Once James has mastered the basic math, Jason will build on that foundation. Algebra will come much later. It is the same with how the Holy Spirit works in us, leading us from basic truths to deeper truths. God's Spirit is always alive, always active, and always revealing God's truth. It is true that God's supreme and unsurpassed revelation came in the form of Jesus, as recorded in the Scriptures. But Jesus is not just some character in a book. He is not lounging around in heaven, reclining on a throne. Through the Holy Spirit, Jesus is a living presence whose transforming truth is revealed to us. And it is the Spirit who will lead us into greater and greater understanding of who Jesus is. There is one other gift of the Holy Spirit which falls in the category of helper. I think we should call on the Spirit to help us much more than we do. Because the Spirit, especially in matters related to living out our faith in this world, can allow us to do things that we would not normally be able to do. Think of Peter's first sermon described in the book of Acts. At Pentecost, when the Spirit descended with power on the believers, Peter is an uneducated fisherman. All through the Gospels, he just doesn't understand the real message Jesus is trying to teach. He lacks wisdom, and when his friend Jesus is facing the cross, Peter is downright cowardly. Yet by the indwelling Spirit, at Pentecost, he suddenly is transformed into a totally new person, and was able to deliver a sermon for the ages. Next time you are asked to do something you think is beyond your capabilities, call upon the help of the Holy Spirit. Here is how we need to assist the Spirit in this sanctifying process. When we lose our tempers, when someone pushes our buttons, when we think uncharitable thoughts, when we are quick to judge, when we fall into temptation or engage in addictive behaviors, we need to resist the urge to just tell ourselves to get over it or to try to blame it on others. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to prayerfully lead us into the truth of what is really going on inside of us. What is causing us to think and feel this way? What thought, action, or habit do we need to change to become more like Christ? With the help of the Spirit, what new way of thinking or acting do we need to practice? Ask the Spirit to show you God's viewpoint. Is the Spirit leading you to a particular scripture passage to help you? Then meditate upon that. A few years back, there was a popular idea in Christian circles. Maybe you remember it. It went something like this. If you got on an elevator and a person asked you why you were a Christian, you should be able to explain it to them in the 45 seconds it took the elevator to reach the 10th floor. No? Huh? Let's use that same idea if someone asks you to explain the Holy Spirit. Now, I would not say to them, oh, the Holy Spirit is my paraclete. They might think that you were talking about your pet parakeet. What I would say is, the Spirit is God living inside of me. The Spirit helps me do the right thing. The Spirit teaches me right from wrong. The Spirit guides my life in the way Jesus wants me to live it. The Spirit helps me to do things I never thought I would be able to do. The Spirit fills me with the joy, power, and desire to serve God and to become more and more like Jesus. And I would tell this person that if you believe in Jesus, you can also have this helper. Let us all call upon the power of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is here right now to help us. Amen.